Well, good morning. Hey, you know what we're going to do? Since this is a worship gathering, we're going to start with a little bit of worship. So, I love that attitude. That's an attitude of gratitude right there. You're too blessed to be stressed. You know? Too anointed to be disappointed. So, but no, seriously, what's cool is like that songs bring people together, you know, they unite us. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. And so this isn't just a chance for us to sing for the sake of singing or to like somehow manipulate our emotions, you know, so that we feel better about each other. It's about bringing Jesus, the praise that he deserves. It's so deserving. I am a product of grace. You are a product of grace. Amazing. Amazing grace. So let's stand this morning. Let's just animate for a minute before we get into the workshop.
Thank you.
Just some rock stars leading worship. There's no place in the kingdom for rock stars. There is a place for a movement of passionate worshipers that rise up and write songs and do great things and great exploits for the Lord that lift up the name of Jesus, not their own name. So that's a conversation that we've started and that we want to continue with you today. So I'm going to hand it over to Casey. And he is not my twin brother. He is my older brother. Although I am married and have a child. So I have these life accomplishments that I have on him. I'm also a little bit smarter and taller as well. Anyway, give a hand for my beloved single brother, Casey Conner.
Thank you. My younger brother, Corey. How's everyone doing? You guys doing great today? Been a good day so far in worship. Man, there's nothing like worshiping with a bunch of worship leaders and worship pastors. Amen? It's loud in here. You guys are crazy. All right. Mark Wymore's crazy too, by the way. He plays this game called, what is it called? Would you rather? Not. What are the odds? Like, he plays this game with me. So he goes, Casey, what are the odds that you'll take that ketchup bottle and just squirt a bunch of ketchup in your mouth? What are the odds? Between 1 and 20, I'll be like 1 and 20, and then we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we said the same number at the same time, which we didn't plan on. We didn't practice that at all. So I would have to spray a bunch of ketchup in my mouth, and that's living life with Mark Wymore. Why don't you guys say hi to somebody around you really quick? This is about community and just gathering together. So why don't you meet somebody new really quick, and then we're going to engage.
Stand or sit. I don't know if sitting's weird.
Let's get in there.
Great. You guys can have your seats. Thank you so much. We're going to sit up here too. We're going to do it panel style. Yeah. And before we do anything further, we want to have the president of Dream Records come up. He's Mr. Dave Hanley. Many of you know him, are part of the Dream Label group. So why don't you give a big round of applause for David Hanley. He's cultivated worship in Foursquare for a long time. David's going to share something with you.
Thank you, guy. What are the odds I'm the oldest and the shortest guy on the stage, yeah? Yeah? Yeah, that looks better. Okay. It's so nice to be home with everyone and my family here. And just thank you so much. On your seats, I'll be brief. On your seats, you saw some things. We're excited about this at Dream Label Group. We have, I think, 40 releases and 40 artists this year. But the most important division, the one that is the anchor of the entire label group, and that is the worship division. And what we're excited about that is you can see that there are 8 releases this year from our Foursquare family. Is that exciting or what? We want to thank Pastor David and Mark and Casey and Corey. And everyone that met, as you said, last year at this time, and this is just to facilitate what God's doing already in your church through your pastor and the team on down. We're here just to serve in whatever capacity, and that looks many different to many people. And so we are excited about this because you can download this. This is a free download card at the door when you leave. If you want an album, 2 songs each from all the artists, it'll be there available free for you from the Foursquare today. So we're excited about that. But thank you so much. I want to thank Dream Label Group. You know, we are based here in Los Angeles, Nashville, and also in Honolulu with Pastor Wayne Cadero, and the executive pastor, John Tilton, is here this morning. We're honored. I'm an ordained pastor, and so my license are there with them, and we get to the hard duty of commuting back and forth, and it's tough. But we're honored to be in the room with just so many great worshipers and represented here today, Inspire Church, as well as one of the artists, of course, Corey. Now, these guys, their releases today. Yes, so I don't want you to feel any pressure to help these two twin brothers out today on the release day. So don't feel any pressure to help them out, but congratulations on that. Pastor Dave and the Rock Church have an incredible release coming out later this year, live recording coming up. So we're just honored to be a part of it. New Hope Oahu, of course, Nightlife back there, and there are so many others. And we thank you for allowing us just to be part of what God is doing here in this incredible worship movement. Amen. Thank you, pastors.
Can we give David a hand? Thank you, David. And Gina Hanley over there. They've sold so much into Foursquare Worship and Worship Worldwide, and we're honored that they would be here. I also want to just honor Pastor Dave sitting next to me. How many of you know Pastor David right here? He's a good man. He's an incredible pastor and leader. And I just want to thank you for your pastoral presence and heart. You can just feel, if you spend any moment with David, you can just feel the absolute warmth from his heart. Amen. You can feel he's not about lifting himself up in the moment. He's about building you up and lifting Jesus up. And I think I want to live that way. So thank you, David, for your leadership. And they're here, based here in Anaheim, Rock Church. Can we give a hand for the Rock, man? The Rock. It rocks. Rock Church. God is using it in powerful and incredible ways. And my younger brother over there, Corey, who led us in worship with Mark. And Mark, I love you, dude. You're an incredible leader. And if you don't know about Mark, Mark just planted Soul Church in San Diego, Ruckus Church, San Diego. If you want to give to Soul Church and sow into it, you pay, what is it, PayPal? PayPause.
This is your plug?
Yeah, it's soulchurchsd.com, and you can give online today.
Come on, how many of you will give to Soul Church today? I'm going to do it. Come on, let's sow into it. God's moving in San Diego. Anyone else from San Diego in the house today? All right. Anyone from Uganda? That's a random switch. Sorry, I saw my friend Brent back here. He's a missionary from Uganda. Good to see you, Brent. I want to say hi to Jim Ranger. Jim Ranger over here from Bakersfield. He was part of our gathering. What this is building off of is just a moment where we truly, just as friends, as leaders, relationally gather together. And I think we've had a lot of conversations on the site about worship and what it is. And we just feel like in this moment, we need to move past, hey, where can I get fresh chord charts? You know, where can I get, I mean, fresh songs are great, and we're going to talk a lot about songs today, but it's moving past kind of some of the logistics, because you guys know how to plan services, how to put teams together, amen? How many of you are on Planning Center right now, editing your team for this weekend? Okay, it's happening right now. Oh, how many of you don't have a drummer for this weekend, and you are praying to God that you do? All right. We know your pain, but you guys know how to use Planning Center and Dropbox and download iTunes and get, you know, the latest Young record on 8-track. You guys know how to do those things. Today we want to talk. What am I doing up here? Today we really want to talk to you from a relational standpoint. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of my, I had a leader ask me in a meeting, and it always happens in a public meeting, but he goes, Casey, who are you? And I said, well, I play guitar. And I play guitar. Well, okay, that's, yeah, who are you? I sing. I'm like, who are you? Well, I work at a church. And he goes, well, that's what you do. But who are you? And that's where it came to me, and I just wanted to share a few brief points. We're actually going to kind of flip-flop all over. And if you guys want to interrupt me, just nudge me or push me or do whatever you want to do. David won't do that because he's a sweetie pie. But Mark over here might push me, so... you're a sweetie pie too, dude. I'm just kidding around, dude. That's two?
You got me twice.
Sorry, dude. I love you. Okay. He said, that's what you do, but who are you? And it caused me to go back to less about the concept of the things that I do for the Lord and more about the person that I am. And so it caused me to think about my life, my mission statement as a person, as a worship leader, as a pastor. And I have slowly, the Lord has cultivated this key phrase. And if you want it for your life, it's really simple. It just says, make Jesus famous. Make him famous. Make him glorious and great in all the earth. Really, it's not about me. And that and part of that calling is for me to be a psalmist. How many of you are a songwriter in the room? You've written songs before. How many of you think you're a songwriter, but it hasn't quite manifested in the way you thought it would? Or yeah, that's me too. My first song was a Christmas song. Corey knows the song. It's called Peace in the Air. It's a Christmas song. As I watch the stars and the light that they bring,
I sing a song to the newborn king. And there was peace in the air. Peace in the air. It's a very Jewish feeling. It's kind of a... Okay. Is that a Jewish dance? Okay. Bro, interrupt me at any time, guys. Here's the thing. As Foursquare worship leaders, I feel it's important this morning for us to reignite our call as psalmists unto God, to reignite our passion as worship leaders and psalmists to sing a new song to the Lord. How many times in Scripture does it say, sing a new song to the Lord? Did you forget that it was a command? Sing a new song to the Lord, play skillfully with a shout of joy. Come on, shout unto God. Woo! Isn't that awkward when somebody says shout to the Lord in a meeting? Okay, shout unto the Lord. Woo! All right, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Isaiah 42:10, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands, you inhabitants. The Lord is calling us as a movement to sing a new song to the Lord. And I believe we're on the front edge, really. Artists, psalmists, prophet, we're prophets to the generation. How many of you want God to instill a new spirit of prophecy in you to hear something from heaven and then speak it out on earth in the form of song? I've heard songs this week. In fact, this guy named Brandon Flowers, he's the lead singer of The Killers. And I don't know why this song was hitting me. It's called The Song Between, It's Between You and Me. It's secular music, Mark. So
check.
I apologize for that. But he had this lyric that said, all my life I've been told, follow your dreams. But the trail went cold. What is that? What is he saying? He said the trail went cold. Follow your dreams, but the trail went cold. I believe God wants to release lyrics in and through you by the power of his spirit that are going to change someone's circumstance, that's going to change a situation. Amen. By the power of God. So sing a new song to the Lord. Reignite your calling as a psalmist. The second thing is this. Refocus your gifts. As pastors and leaders, it's really difficult to not be pulled in 1,000 different directions, to be doing different things. I mean, we did a huge event with a guy named Nick Vujicic in Boise, Idaho, and there were 7,500 people there, and we were the worship band. In order to save like a couple thousand dollars at the end of the night, we ended up having to mop the entire auditorium afterward, the band. Bro, and I was like, how beautiful is this picture? So many of you have led worship, and you're the people stacking chairs. You're the people cleaning up the nachos after the event. You are the people doing it all. And so there's so many things that you could get tugged in different directions. But this is what the Lord was telling me about this, that if we're getting, and it basically came from a moment I had with the Lord on the beach. He said, Casey, I want you to go for a run for 20 minutes on the beach, and then I'm going to speak to you. And so I'm running, and then he leads me to the running scripture. But I wanted to pull it apart for you really quick. It's Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and now he's seated in the place of highest honor next to God's throne. What the Lord said to me in this moment, he said, Casey, there are things in your life, there's weights. It said, throw aside every weight. Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So weight isn't necessarily sin. Weight is anything that could be distracting you from God. So I want to ask you this, as psalmists, as people that are called to the new song in this room, where is your attention and your focus being divided? Where are you intentionally setting out to write the new song? Do you have a sacred space where you can write? Corey and I went to our church in our atrium. We call it the atrium in Central Oregon. Went to our church at 6 a.m. in the morning because that's the only time other people weren't there. We had no other place to write or prepare. But where is your sacred space? Where is your focus space where your eyes aren't to the right or to the left, but you can say, God, I'm a songwriter. You've called me to be a psalmist. And so I'm going to dedicate this moment to you. I'm going to focus my attention. So refocus your gifts. And then the last one is, and this is tough, guys, because these guys have a bunch of stuff to say too. But the last one is this: refresh your spirit. Refresh your spirit. Bill Hybels wrote this, and this is an insane quote. I love it. You're a leader. It's your job to keep your passion hot. Do whatever you have to do. Read whatever you have to read. Go wherever you have to go to stay fired up. And don't apologize to anybody. Don't apologize to anybody. It's our job as leaders to stay refreshed and renewed in God. And the inspiration from His Holy Spirit is going to fire us up to write these new songs. A guy we met with, Sean Gasparetti. What city is he from? I forget. You remember?
Yeah, he's up in Bellingham. No, he's
Everett. That's right. Thank you. Everett, Washington.
Church. Yeah.
Sean and his wife were going through a big struggle, and he was sharing this at our small gathering in Marina Del Rey. Really tender moment. I mean, it was amazing, and Jim can testify to this. Like, there was just something about that time we had together. God was just moving because we just made ourselves available, took time out. And Sean shared the story about him and his wife, and they'd been struggling to get pregnant, been struggling with infertility, and recently they got pregnant. It's amazing. They're having a baby this Friday, and he told me, I can't be there to tell the story live and in person, so I'm going to write it down for you. So I wanted to read this fresh inspiration from Sean and this amazing miracle that happened through his life. So bear with me as I read this. This is from Sean. He said, I wrote a song for my daughter who's arriving Friday. Seems like a simple statement, but the journey getting here hasn't been easy. I never thought that my 20s would be riddled with barrenness in two areas that meant a lot to me, songwriting and parenting. It can be frustrating to go years without answers, inspiration, or even hope that what you desire so deeply would ever come to pass. Songwriting has been a challenge for the last 10 years. I got countless voice memos and journal entries that have never been materialized. Anyone in the same place, voice memos and journal entries that have never materialized. And thank you, phone, for completely going off base here. Voice memos and journal entries that have never been materialized into a complete song. I can trace it back to a few songwriting classes that seem to suck the wind right out of me. As I've grown older, I would attribute much of my dry spell to insecurity and overstated self-criticism, keeping me in bondage. Nevertheless, being a vocational worship pastor with a lack of lyrical creativity is nothing short of frustrating. It wouldn't be until several years later I would see how God would use this season to reveal himself in unexpected ways. Stick with me here. In addition to the lack of songs, my wife and I walked through about 4 years of infertility. We were told having children would be impossible without medical intervention. Our story has been overwhelmed and with intrusive medical procedures, a mountain of debt, and endless tears. Yet through it all, God has provided in miraculous ways, from the presence of close friends to anonymous financial gifts. God's goodness was made known in more ways than I can ever count. Most specifically, in giving us a little girl who is on her way later this week. Literally Friday, they're having a baby. It's incredible. Barrenness for me has come in a few forms. It's frustrating when you desire to sing a song from the depths of your heart, only to have your mind bat it down with a club. It's daunting to go month after month waiting for your wife's positive pregnancy test, only to be disappointed once again, all of which made this song so meaningful. In just a few days, my daughter, Adelie, is due to be born, which is the main reason I skipped convention this year. She will never know the amount of frustration I've had in songwriting. She'll only hear me sing a song I wrote for her. And he shared this song for me, guys, and I was on the deck of a house, and I just wept. I just wept for the goodness of God over him, because God wanted to pull him out of this barrenness and this disappointment and show him life. And I can't help but do this right now, but could we just close our eyes for a moment? And I felt when we were worshiping that there's somebody in the room that has great, let's just close our eyes if you want. There's somebody in the room that has great disappointment in songwriting or another area, and you can really resonate with Sean this morning. And I wonder, just by lifting your hand to God in this place, experiencing great disappointment, that God would come and heal your heart. And he would come make a way in your situation. I don't know how he's going to come through for you, but I know that he cares about your life. He values you, and he values your life. And he sees your hands. I see your hands all across this room. And more importantly, God sees you. Lord, in our disappointment, Lord, in the silence of Saturday before the resurrection, in the confusion, Lord, would you come and speak life over us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
Man, what a good word. Thank you, Casey. And, you know, that scripture in Isaiah that says, sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not travailed with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. And that's, you know, that's exactly the verse that that comes out of, is that the Lord gave him a song and said, here's the way to start getting your miracle. Sing. Start singing. I mean, you got to do some other things, too, to have a baby. But he said, be singing. Be singing. Make sure you're singing. And so sing in faith. And it's important for us to sing out in faith. Amen. Thank you for that. You know, also, I was thinking about the verse in, it says in six different times in the book of Psalms, sing a new song unto the Lord. Six different times. Sing a new song unto the Lord. I know that sometimes you'll hear in church, why all these new songs? Come on, why all these new songs? Because, you know, way back in the day, there was the hymnal, and that's kind of what we worked from. And I think the hymnal's awesome. We still need to pull it out and do some hymns. That's awesome. But the Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. And let me just tell you a simple thing that you can just put in the back of your, you know, head about when you need inspiration for singing. You know, you may have heard it said that songwriting is about 10% inspiration and about 90% perspiration. You know, it kind of starts with an inspiration. You don't want to just, you know, start. But the Bible says in Psalm chapter 40, the Lord has put a new song in my mouth. And when I heard that, I thought, that means that the Lord puts a new song in someone who's singing. That if you're looking for a new song, start singing. You know, and you say, well, sing what? Well, just start singing. And when you start singing, what happens? The Lord fills the song with a new song. That's why so many times you hear people that say, how did you write that song? Well, I was worshiping with something else, and I just came out of that song. In other words, I was singing, and I was just singing something fresh unto the Lord. And in the midst of that, the Lord, like, kind of inserted a new song, a new inspiration right in the midst of the singing. One of the reasons why I notice that at times in my life where if I feel like I'm not writing fresh stuff to the Lord, whether it be for the congregation or whether it just be for my own heart to the Lord, a lot of times it's because I'm not singing on my own. And so sometimes I'll just go sit down at the piano or grab a guitar and just start singing. Singing what? Singing whatever, as long as it's my heart unto the Lord. And what happens? The Lord fills that void, that emptiness, that empty melody and those empty words in with inspiration. But it's important for us to sing. The Lord has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to my God. Many will hear of it and fear. We'll trust in the Lord. So we're talking about the song, and I want to briefly go through a couple of points about the song in our church or the song in our community. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in the first four verses, it says this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not do it to, does not speak to men, but to God. But he, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks, and these three words, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is to build up. Exhortation is to encourage, and comfort is to bring peace. The Bible says that we can speak in tongues on our own, but when we're in the church, he said, seek that you may prophesy. Why? Because it builds people up, it encourages people, and it brings peace to people's hearts. Do you know that when we write songs, someone says, well, why write songs? Why we're writing songs has to be from a pure heart out of love. A few verses later in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, it says, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be, here's the purpose, here's the intention for prophecy, here's the intention to write songs, not to get a number one hit, not to get in the top CCLI 100. In fact, if that's our intention, that's not right. He says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Our number one purpose is to edify the church. Edify what church? Whatever circle he's given you. Sometimes we want to write for the world, but we want to skip over our own church. It's if God's given you the responsibility of leading worship for a Sunday school, that's your circle that he's given you. And remember, Jesus said that he who's not faithful in what is least will also not be faithful in what is much. He says, and if you can't be faithful in what's another man's, how will he give you what's your own? In other words, whatever he's given you right now, it may be a small group, that is your circle. And that's who he's called you to do what? To build and build up, edify, exhort, encourage, bring peace, bring comfort. So if our intentions are pure, then what happens? Then we don't have any fear. You know, in the book of 1 John chapter 5, it says that perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Sometimes we don't write because of fear. And the Bible says that love casts out fear. In other words, love for the church, purity of purpose and purity of heart in the intent of writing causes us just to write with a pure heart. Sometimes we're locked up in writing because our minds are on, where is this song going to go? What is this song going to do for me? Hey, this is going to be a hit. And so what happens is we get locked up on the inside. That's called fear. It's protection. It's insecurity. That's what fear does. It protects. But what does the Bible say that casts out fear? Love. And the Bible says, let our zeal be for the edification of the church that we seek to excel. In other words, I believe if we'll keep pure hearts, that just says, my only heart, Lord, in writing a new song is to worship you. And my only heart to bring a new song, Lord, is to build up, to exhort, to edify, to bring peace to my church or to my Bible study or to my children's group or whatever small circle you've given me, Lord, that's what my heart is. And what God will do is he'll take that pure heart and that pure inspiration and allow it to say, no, I can use that purity to touch the world.
Yeah. Do you remember at this gathering, what the heart behind it was? Not to exclude any of you. It's actually to bring a template, because we're going to talk about doing what we did just a year ago. There's about 12 of us, and we invited Dave Hanley to talk about music business. We invited, you may have heard of him, Tommy Walker, to come and talk about songwriting. Do you remember what he said? He said, I pray, and then I just start playing music to my prayers. And so he literally will pray for his church and then began writing songs. And I love what he said, too, about holding on to one song. He said, if you're holding on to one song thinking it's the greatest song ever written, he said for years he would hold on and not give songs to record labels and give it out to. And then the Lord said, that's not the only song I've put in you, so start giving them away.
Wow.
And so that's really even the heart of why we're talking about the song in you, the song in your church. And then in a couple of minutes we're going to talk about songs in the city. But we really want to, by the end of today, we want to give some footsteps to what are we going to do with these songs and how do we do life in community? Because I don't think anybody does it better than you, David, at The Rock. I mean, it's amazing what you've done in your church with the songs God's given you guys. It's amazing.
Thank you, Mark. So how to do it in your own church? How to write songs in your own church? Well, first of all, I think you have to believe that the Lord has called writers. You have to believe that he has, right? That he's called other people than you. And one thing, a practical, very practical thing that we did years ago is we have two songwriting groups primarily. We have one that's called a songwriting forum, and it's just an open forum that we just say to anybody like, hey, on Friday night, we're going to have a songwriting forum. We're going to come and share songs. If you can give them to me ahead of time, that's fine, because we only have a certain amount to share. And then when we get in the forum, you know, the first one we had, we literally had about 30 people show up. And I mean, it was funny. We had rappers. We had all kind of stuff going on. And so then we had to kind of say, we have to really, you know, clarify what we mean by this. Like, we had love songs. People are looking in their husband, wife's, you know, eyes. I wrote this for you, baby. No, 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 that's not what this is for. But the cool thing, though, is you identified in that circle. We had two or three of those. We identified in that circle right away who had something on them. You understand what I mean. Not just had a gift, not just had a talent, but they had something on them to do it. Then we developed a group of core songwriters. Our core songwriters meet about once a month, and we basically, everyone, in order to come to the group, you have to come with a song. Like that's your entrance. You have to come with a song. We don't care if it's bad. We don't care if it's good. We don't care if it's for the congregation. You just have to come with a song, finished. And so it kind of puts the pressure on to say come. And then what we do is we have these simple criteria. You can jot them down or just make a mental note of them. But we'll just say, hey, first of all, this is a safe environment. And I think that's really, really important because your songs are like your children, right? You like people commenting on your children? You know what I think about him? Shut up, man. I don't want you to tell me, you know? And so that's the same thing about songs. You know what I think? And you shut up, man, you know? Be talking about my song, right? Because the reality is you may have written 100 songs and they say, which one do you like? I like all of them. Like, it's like asking me, which one am I? I have 4 kids, you know? And you ask me, which one do you like the best? Well, you know, I'd probably tell you it depends on which day. But the reality is I like all of them. Right? Which song do you like the best? I like all of them. I like the song that nobody else likes. Why? Because it came out of me, right? And so you have to create a safe environment where you say, guys, when you critique on other people's songs, please be gentle. Don't say, I don't like that, or that sounds just like this. And then you could crush someone. Does anybody know what I mean? Probably been on both ends of it. You can crush someone. So you have to create a very safe environment. So we have 3 criteria. We say, number one, what did you like about the song? And just share a minute or two, a couple of people. I really like this. Really like that bridge. I really like that hook. Number two, what felt maybe a little uncomfortable? Like what maybe you got to that part and you're like, I don't really know. Or, you know, maybe just share that. And then number three, if you have any suggestions. And so we just go around the room and be able to say, do you have any suggestions, and offer that. And then we say this, if anybody has a suggestion about a song, like a lyric change or like something in this environment, it's free. In other words, you don't get any writing credit. It's just, if you want to change a word or change a couple of words or something, or suggest some things and people use it, you don't get songwriter's credit. But if you write a whole new section, like if you say, hey, I have a bridge for that I'll talk to you afterwards about it or something, then, you know, you guys can talk about that, but the writer has to agree. Anyway, all that to say, just to wrap this up, is to say a songwriting environment is something that it's one of the most fun things. We are putting together for a live recording coming up in June, and we met with Dave Hanley, and he was saying, how many songs do you have? And I said, honestly, we have a bunch, but I just feel like we need to write all fresh songs. This was like a month, maybe like 5 weeks ago. We need to write all fresh songs. So we called our songwriting community together, about, you know, 10 people or so, our core songwriters. And we met every Friday for a month. And then we had like a 2-day songwriting retreat. And we wrote together in a month 45 songs for our album. And then we narrowed it down to 11 songs that we're going to be, doing next week. And I just can't wait. I couldn't narrow it down. I love so many of these songs. And one of the requirements that I had on this one was that any song we picked had to be collaborative. In other words, no one names go on it. Why? Because it forces you to write together. It forces you not to just be yourself. And so how do you find the subject of the song? Find the voice of your church. Take your pastor's sermons, listen to what he's preaching, write down the scriptures, write down the key phrases, and sing it back. People don't go home singing sermons, but they go home singing songs. And so if we want to get those sermons down in people's hearts, what we need to do is we need to take those sermons and put them into songs. Lord, I voice this back to you, this sermon of what you're saying. And that's the heart. What is it for? It's for the edification of the church. So,
hey, can we give it up for David? That was awesome. Man, that was amazing. I want to just really simply thank you guys for coming today. And you know, sometimes conflict is defined unfulfilled expectations. I don't know about any of you, but I've gone to conferences and conventions and just had conflict in my heart because none of my expectations were fulfilled. Can we just show of hands of anybody ever been frustrated leaving even a Foursquare convention, it's okay. Like, man, the worship, that was just horrible. And the mix was, good Lord. And nobody knew the songs. And they do a song, and then they talk for 45 minutes, and then two songs, and then they talk for another 20 minutes, and then announcements, and then one song, and we never get to enter in. Anybody ever been there? So it doesn't take a prophet to see a problem. So I called Tammy a year and a half ago, and I said, I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines, and I don't want to be negative. I want to bring some people together and just start having conversations. And so there was about 12 of us, guys and gals, and we said, what would it look like if across our denomination we were in unity together? You know, I just, none of you would ever know Corey Parnell unless he sat up here and led worship. Was that not one of the most beautiful voices? I mean, I want you to like wake me up in the morning just with that voice. He can't, if you get his number, yeah. It's the beauty of FaceTime now, folks. And we said, what would it be like if our denomination for a season came together and we got the songs of the Lord from the songs of the artists, from the songs of the churches, and the songs of the city available to each other? What would that be like? Today, Hillsong United comes out with a new album, and every one of us know about that new album because of social media, because of amazing marketing, because of what God has done in a person, what God did in a church, and what God has done in a city and now across the world. Amen? And so we could be cynical of Hillsong, but listen, they've gone before us, and they've shown a model that works. And so what we're going to do today, I want to talk a bit about the song In Your City. And as my wife and I moved to San Diego 9 months ago, I was a full-time worship pastor, have been for almost 15 years. And the Lord one morning gave me Luke 9 when he said he sent the apostles out and sent them with authority to cast out demons. And he said this, and take nothing on your journey. And I got that verse, and I called David and I said, I feel like I'm supposed to plant a church, and the Lord's told me, take nothing on your journey. And he goes, you know what he said to take nothing? No staff. So literally, no staff. No worship leader, no kids pastor, not a staff. And you know, the staff represented their identity because they would take their name, their father's name, and their father before them, and the father. And he said, I want you to lay down your identity. I want you to lay down your staff. He said, I want you to take no money. I don't want you to take a bag, no bags of tricks, nothing that you've done in the past, and move to San Diego. And can I tell you, 9 months later, we have literally seen the hand of the Lord over and over and over and over and over again. In Luke 22, I love this. He says, remember when I told you not to take anything on your journey? Remember when I told you no staff, no money, no bag? He said, did you lack anything? And the apostles look at him and say, nothing. We didn't lack a thing. And he says, okay, now pick it up. 9 months later, dropping all the times I've led worship, dropping all of the environments to lead worship and say, Lord, you've called us to this city. And we've been given a free building. It's a $6 million facility overlooking Qualcomm Stadium. And at our very first service just a month ago, we had over 200 people on our very first service. No, but listen, this is not on us. 2 weeks ago, we had two worship leaders from other parts of the country come and say, we've heard about Soul Church. We want to be a part. Our worship was better than I could have ever led it this last week with two young guys, 19, 21, who have moved into the city to lay it down for the city, writing songs for our city. And we have literally seen over and over and over the hand of the Lord, because God will take, listen, he'll take your nothing. He'll do something, and in him, you can do anything. Can you believe that? Amen? Amen? And so you know, in the songs in the city, do you notice that the Bible starts in the garden, and it ends in the what? Ends in the city. And I believe that the Lord is doing something so significant in your city, in my city, in the cities across the world. And I want to challenge you today. When's the last time you've walked the streets of your city? When's the last time you've walked around influential areas in your city and just began to sing songs over your city? My next door neighbor is Sam, and I walk my neighborhood all the time. And Sam is a recovering alcoholic. And Sam, a month ago, I opened up the door and he fell into my arms and he was weeping and doesn't attend our church. And Sam said, "Mark, I just found my wife dead. She had killed herself. Lives across the street from us." And literally, for the long, I mean, it was that awkward holding each other in the doorway, weeping, saying, "What do I do? Where do I go? What's going on?" Can I just tell you that when you're at your church and you're writing songs and getting ready for the weekend, can I just tell you, my life is forever changed in now moments like this where we're literally in the city, laying it down for the city. And the songs that are now coming in this season are just so different. And Sam came to our last soul church this last week. And at the end of our worship time, I looked down and he's never even been into a church service. He was on the ground weeping before the Lord, being touched by the songs that God is giving us for our city. And so I want to encourage you that the songs that God has given you, yeah, they're going to be songs that come from you, and there's songs that are going to come from your local community and your church. But I believe that there are songs that God is giving us to change our city. I believe that there are songs that will be sung. I don't think there's any greater promotion of your church than the sound of your church to your city. We can do mail flyers and we can do door hangers, but when people go, "You've got to hear these songs from this church," and they give it to their friends, who then give it to their friends, who then give it to their friends, don't be surprised when people start coming to your church, because your church needs songs from your city. And so in just a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to break off into the 9 districts, and we're going to take a moment, and we want to pray over the songs that are in you. We want to pray over the songs that are in your church. We want to pray over the songs that God is singing over your city. And we're going to take a moment and do that. And then we're going to show, do we have the slide of the Facebook? Yeah. So in just a moment, we're going to show, we've created a Facebook, and we weren't going to do Facebook because the moment my mom got on Facebook, I was like, "I'm out of here." She comments on every single picture. "Oh my gosh, your kids are so cute," you know? And so we've created a Foursquare worship leaders Facebook. And so we'd like you guys to get on there. And we began this because we believe that the stories need to be told. And I don't go to the Foursquare website very often, but I do go to my Facebook quite a bit. And on Twitter. And so we're gonna create community this way. And so what we want to do is we want to begin the conversations. If you come out with a new video, please put it on here. Because then in this environment, you're going to have other people in your area that can go, "Oh my gosh, I got to have you come to our church and share that song." You're going to have record producers and you're going to have record labels listening to your music going, "Wow, we didn't know that you were here. We didn't know you were putting out music like this." If you have a video that you want to put up, you know, the YouTube videos, that's where this whole thing has gone so viral, and indie artists have been able to be found is because of YouTube, right? And so we want to make sure that we create an environment. We've been talking about it for years. Let's start a website. Let's start a this. Let's start, you know, a songwriting for all of the Foursquare worship leaders. Let's do worship records from Foursquare. No, we're going to start a Facebook and Foursquare worship leaders, and you can get on there. You can check out new songs. So, for instance, the Elliott Band just put out a new record. I was up at their conference that they put on about 3 weeks ago. It's one of the finest conferences I've ever been to. And the week before, we had been to the Catalyst Conference here in Orange County. And I'm telling you, these guys are putting on one of the most amazing conferences, yet we don't know about it yet. And I'm sure sitting out here are hundreds of amazing worship leaders with incredible gifting and anointing. But what? We don't know about it. We're not connected yet. And so are you guys game that that even this conversation is even a little bit more organic, and we're going to get into our different districts, and we're going to meet each other. I bet there's some in your district that you've never even met yet. And here's what was so awkward. The first day we brought these 12 worship leaders, they're like, why are we meeting? And I'm like, the Lord told us to. And they're like, no, but what's the agenda? I said, well, the first thing was to sit down and meet each other. And we just started sharing. Hi, my name's Corey. Corey, this is David. David, this is Sean. And by the third day, Sean's going, I haven't written a song in 4 years. And my wife and I haven't been able to get pregnant for 4 years. And when I saw Sean's post come up that they were pregnant, he texted me 3 days ago. He said, bro, here's an MP3 of the new song that I haven't written in 4 years for my new daughter. Imagine if that was going on all around, where we have a denomination that we don't just feel like we believe in, but we belong to. And that would be amazing. One of the things I want to leave us with is as far as the song of the Lord. Do you remember when Saul was persecuting David? And David was a psalmist, and the picture was where Saul throws the spear at David's head and he ducks, and then he goes down into the caves. Do you remember this story? And he goes to the caves by himself. He goes by himself. The songs that he wrote in the caves by himself are some of the greatest psalm that we'll ever read in Scripture, and the songs that we actually sing today come out of a season where he was by himself. And a little later, about 300 people join him, and then they go down into a city, and they go down into Israel, and David would then lead out of that. I want to call us today to go to the caves. I want us to call us to go back to singing the songs where you just sat your Bible in front of your keyboard and sat a Bible in front of your guitar, and you just began to sing the songs like David sang, out of his weariness, out of his abandonment, out of his brokenness, and start singing the songs of the Lord in the caves. I mean, we could all sing Hillsong. We could all sing Jesus Culture. I know we can all sing that, and we need to. But I want to call us Foursquare worship leaders. Can we go to the caves once again? Can we leave the crowds? Can we be the ones at 6 a.m. that go into the church all by ourselves? Can we be the ones that when I was 19, I had never touched a piano, had never sung a song before. At 19, I sat down because I found out that my dad had just cheated on my mom. And I opened up a Bible and I said, God, if you're real, I need to know you. And I played G and C for 17 hours straight. And I started singing the songs in the cave. And I started singing another song in the cave. A couple months later, I had some friends come and they started singing songs with me. A year later, I would stand with David. A year later, I would sit with David and he's like, dude, it's nice to meet you. I see something on you. And from that moment, began to walk alongside David, just teaching me how to lead people in worship. It was a train wreck. Some lady came up to me, David, you had had me lead at the church because you weren't there. And she came up to me and she said, stop practicing on us. She said that. Stop practicing on us. But I had a relationship with him. And I was doing life with David in that season. These guys have been doing life together. Some of you are just all by yourself and we're just saying, no, that stops today. We don't get to do life alone. And we believe this great songs and great movements are going to come out of these times where we're connected. Amen? So we don't get to gripe and complain. Well, nobody invites me and nobody listens to my songs and nobody. We're kind of over that season. So here we go. Let's go ahead and stand our feet. And I want to do this. If we can get the 9 different districts, I don't even know what they are. So praise the Lord. Let's start with the East Coast. If you're from the East Coast, back over here. And then if you're from the Southeast, right?
Northeast. I do Northeast.
So Northeast, Southeast.
Could we just make it like a map of the United States? Like Northeast, South, or no, West? How about a map like face down, like this way? Northwest. Washington's up there.
Is it 3D?
SoCal's down there. There's East Coast. And just kind of go where you're.
Yeah.
Chicago. East Coast. That's West Coast.
East Coast is to your left.
West Coast is the best coast.
Point out the districts. Okay.
Just start saying it out loud. I'm from the Northwest. I'm from the Southwest.
Midwest. All right. Come on, Jesus. Midwest, you're
Midwest
in the middle.
Yeah, these chairs kind of like right
Midwest,
here.
Midwest, you're in the middle.
Midwest, right there, yeah. Midwest folk.
If you're from Hawaii, raise your hand. Right here, come on. Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Just a little bit quieter.
Yeah. We have some international representation. International.
If you're, international can come right up front here.
Yeah, right up here.
Yeah. Mexico, South America.
Okay, so you'd be over here.
Mid-South.
Southwest over here, yeah. California.
So Mid-South would be here.
Beautiful. So just start introducing yourself to each other. Tell somebody where you're from, what church you're at. Introduce yourself to each other. Tell them what church you're from. Yeah. Yeah, Northwest.
Northwest.
Look at the Northeast. We see you over there. Yeah. Yeah. All right. By a show of hands, if you're from the Midwest, can we see your hands? Can we give it up for the Midwest? Come on. Yeah. Yes. East Coast. If you're East Coast, where are you? Let's see your hands. Can we give it up for the East Coast? Okay, we got a few. Awesome. All right, if you're from the Northwest, let me hear you. Yes. We love your Birkenstocks. It's awesome. Anybody from Northern California? Northern Cal? NorCal right here? Yeah? Yeah? And then Southern Cal? Awesome. And then Hawaii? We got Hawaii over here.
Aloha. And we have Belize right here. We have, is it Nigeria? Who's from Nigeria, though? You said... Nigeria. You're in the Midwest
Nigeria?
Right now.
All right.
And then who's from, and then Uganda as well?
Uganda.
Brazil!
Come on. All right.
England?
Now, in England. We got England right here. Come on.
All right.
Yes.
Hello.
I love in Timothy says to lay hands for the stirring up of the gifts. And, we believe that this is a time that we can encourage one another. And I want us to do this. I want us to take a couple minutes, and I want us to pray one for another. The night that Sean, we had talked about, he hadn't been writing songs and had a baby. We got in my room together, and I said, I want you to pick up a guitar. And he's like, Mark, this is kind of awkward. I said, I know. I want you to pick up a guitar. And he picked up a guitar, and I said, will you just start singing what you just told me? He just told me, I'm tired, I'm weary. Said, I'm so frustrated that we're not having kids. I'm frustrated I haven't written a song. And so he just started singing, Lord, I'm tired. You can keep playing. I'm in your key. I'm so weary. And he just started singing. He said, Mark, that's the first time I've done that in 4 years. 4 years. And I want us to do this today. I want us to... First of all, I want us to pray over each other. Where any of you may be stuck, you may be stuck in in busyness. You may be stuck in songwriting. You may be stuck in building teams. You may be stuck and you haven't sung a new song before the Lord for a long time. And we're going to stand with each other and pray. And if you feel like the Lord has given you a word for somebody, I want you to pray for them in this time. And we're going to pray for each other. And then Corey felt like there was a prophetic word that he wanted to share. You want to share that now before the prayer time or after?
We can do after.
Yeah, we'll do that after. Okay, so go ahead. Get in groups of 2 and 3. Would you begin to just pray for each other? Come on. Begin to minister to each other. Come on, just begin to pray one for another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for new songs. The song of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for songs of deliverance. Of the name of Jesus higher, lift up the name of the Lord, oh Lord, lift up the name of Jesus higher, Lord, lift up the name of the Lord, oh, lift up the name of Jesus higher, lift up the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, lift up the name of Jesus higher, lift up the name of the Lord. Lift up the name of Jesus higher. Lift up the name of the Lord. Yeah. Lift up the name of Jesus higher. Lift up the name of the Lord. Oh.
encouragement to do what we've been doing. So talk to your district supervisors about the community motivators. And then if you would like to meet the family, if you're an artist, I'd like to meet the
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hey, come on, in just an attitude of worship, can we sing that chorus again? Lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing it together. Yeah. Lift up the name of Jesus higher, lift up the name of the Lord, lift up the name of Jesus higher, lift up the name of the Lord, lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of the Lord, thank you, Lord. Lift up the name of Jesus higher. Lift up the name of the Lord.
Oh, we lift you up.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I want to have Corey share just a prophetic word. And you know, that song that Corey taught, that's on there. Is that on the new record? Your guys' new record?
I wrote, it was like 1997, I think.
Oh,
I wrote
praise
that
the Lord.
Song,
okay, yeah. But that's one of yours. But you guys wouldn't know that unless we sang it just now. So I love it. So,
hey, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share this. I feel very impressed. Two things, actually. The first is this. We have to ruthlessly crucify self-promotion. I want to see us like lead revival worship in like tents, Jesus people, hippie worship style, all over the United States, all over the world. I want to see this movement rise up to do that, and you know, that kind of thing. But if we're gonna do this, to ruthlessly crucify self-promotion, because what you gain through self-promotion, you have to sustain through self-promotion. When God promotes, he sustains. Yeah? Somebody said that. I can't remember who said that. But when God promotes, he sustains. And so this cannot be about us writing songs so that we can become famous. It has to be about writing songs so that Jesus can be made famous and so that people can encounter the living God. And so we have to ruthlessly crucify that. We also in our lives have to ruthlessly crucify false humility. Okay, so false humility would try to stop you from making connections, stop you from meeting the right people or talking to the right person. I mean, oh, who, me? I don't write songs. Who am I kidding? Stop it. You got to stop it right now. The Holy Spirit is saying to you prophetically, stop it. We don't need false humility. If you've got a song, sing the song. If you've got a guitar, play the guitar. If you've got a word, share the word. Okay, so that's the first part. The second thing is this. In Judges 5, it says, when the leaders lead and the people willingly follow, bless the Lord. And that was speaking in reference to the ministry of Deborah, right? It was only not consequential. It was coincidental that there were only men on this stage today. In the future, we need women to rise up, okay, in the tradition of Sister Amy, and be leaders. Okay, when the leaders lead and the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. I just felt like this is an encouragement from the Holy Spirit today. Women, you got a job to do, and it is a job of leadership. Okay, it's a job out front. It's being the tip of the spear in some of your spheres, right? It's being, it's letting yourself be the arrowhead. You need to preach. You need to lead. You need to step up. This is a part of our movement. It's our DNA. So it's time to rise up. Okay, that's the word. That's it.
Amen. Can we say amen to that? That's amen. A good word. That's a good word. Amen. Amen. Hey, I know I've been talking to a lot of the guys on the East Coast saying, like, we don't have any worship leaders. And the fact is that we don't have a lot of churches. So can we do this, prophets and evangelists and apostles? Can we lay our hands towards the East Coast right now? Come on. Can we just lay our hands towards the East Coast? And can we begin to speak life over the East Coast in the name of Jesus? Lord, we declare that your church is being built, that your church is strong on the East Side. Lord, we thank you for every city represented. Lord, where our nation began on the East Coast. And Lord, where most of the decisions are made from the East Coast, Lord, we declare that your church is strong, that songs of the Lord will arise from the East. I thank you for the moves of God that are going on in places like Atlanta, in places like New York City. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that Foursquare will be the preaching the gospel, that songs will come alive. Lord, we pray for leaders that are being awoken at night. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing leaders from all over the world to the East Coast. And Lord, I thank you that even in 2 years, we will see triple, four times the amount of churches on the East Coast in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that those that would come out of Tennessee, Lord, would begin to, you would put not just psalmists, but Lord, you would raise out of the Psalms, you would raise pastors and leaders and those who can communicate the gospel to the East Coast. And Lord, we thank you where it is weak, you are strong. And so we speak your strength, Lord, over your church. Church, in the name of Jesus, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. So I would always leave convention going, okay, that was great, but now what? That was awesome. I mean, they got the best of the best of the world coming to speak to us. Now what? I got to go back to my thing. And here's the now what. I called Tammy and I said, would you help us? We want to get together. And she said, yeah, I want to help you. She said, on one condition, I want you to encourage those in our denomination to talk to their leaders to help them. Okay? So here's the call to you. A Sean Gasparetti, a Jim Ranger, the Parnells in Central Oregon. We need some in Hawaii. We need some on the East Coast. We need them in the Midwest. We need them all over. Would we have leaders that say, I'm going to gather. I'm going to gather worship leaders, whether they're Foursquare or not. I'm going to gather worship leaders together to begin to write the songs of the Lord. Here's how we did it. We spent 2.5 days together, and we laughed more than anything on that trip. I mean, I'm now seeing them laughing with each other, all the inside jokes that musicians love to have with each other. And it all started at that moment. From that meeting, the Hanleys, you guys have brought on how many, from that meeting, how many, yeah, 8 different musicians from the 12 have now been able to be on a platform with Dream Records, are now being able to use their gift for the glory of God and go beyond just their city, but now to the world through the gifts that God has in Dream Records. Isn't that what this is all about? It's about being together, right? And what God does organically, then he builds out. Amen. And so I would ask this from our Southern Cal. We love to do life alone. We like to be better than everybody else. We like to be isolated. Trust me, I've been down here for 4 years. I've been in San Diego 1 year, and we've only had 2 pastors call us and say, how can we help? We're not complaining. I'm just going to go, great. I want to get 10 of you together, and let's talk about how we're going to do this together. So now in the Southern Cal, in Northern California, in Oregon, in Washington, in the Midwest, in the East Coast, will you guys do this organically? Would some of you just say, I'm going to gather some worship leaders together to do some songwriting boot camps. We're going to bring together people. Come on, I see hands right here. Okay, I'm seeing hands all over. Who in Hawaii is going to just host something? not going to be an island, or you are an island, but live on an island. Okay. And some of you have amazing songs, and some of you have been not just a worship leader in the local context, but you feel like you have songs as a singer, a songwriter, maybe your band in your church. We want to help you get to the next step. And so anybody that is partnering with Dream Records is going to be up here. Dave and Gina are going to be here. Can I just tell you, these people are legit. They are legit. They have amazing integrity. They have business savvy. They know, worship leaders, what you should not do as an artist. Don't try to do this by yourself. And as well, we're going to be up here. Anybody that was at the meeting, come down here, and we're going to talk about that. But if you want to know, like, how do I even put out a song? Come up. Hey, I put out a couple records, and I sold like 100 to my mom, and like my uncle's bought them, and like my favorite person that loves my worship leading at my church. But now what? Come up and talk to us. Okay. If you've never put out a record and you're like, dude, I have like 500 songs, come up. That's why these guys are here. And so we're just praying that you guys will meet organically in your places. Let songs come out of your districts. Let songs come out of your churches. Let songs come out of you once again. And I believe that this is going to be an amazing season for us as a church and worship. And then go to the website, and Foursquare Worship Leaders. And that's what we're encouraging you to do. We really want to make sure that you guys get connected. David.
If you didn't get one of those download cards, I think Gina's passing them out on your way out. Make sure to get one of those. Also, at Foursquare Conventions, we're wanting to do these gatherings every year from now on. So tell worship leader friends around, that are in Foursquare to come, and we're going to connect at Foursquare Conventions in the future, as well as on Facebook here. So thank you, Mark. Thank you, all the team. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, give somebody a hug as you leave. We'll see you around, and make sure we encourage each other. If you guys have any questions, they'll be down here.